Just kind of curious, we were talking before about PARP inhibitors. If you had a patient, let's say, who had a resectable cancer, or maybe you gave them neoadjuvant therapy and then they were resected, and you found out that they had, let's say, a BRCA germline mutation. First of all, are there any trials of PARP inhibitors in either the neoadjuvant or adjuvant setting? Any situations where you consider off-label use of a PARP inhibitor?
So there are no neoadjuvant trials that I know of. One of my colleagues, Kim Reisbinder, again, she's been trying to get the cooperative group, because it would take a cooperative group to do a study like that. But we've been trying to get the cooperative group to approve an adjuvant study. I think it's a great idea to look at a PARP inhibitor after adjuvant therapy and see if it achieves sort of long-term control of the disease. Because these drugs do have toxicities, I have not been using it off-label for this patient population.
So, yeah, there's a big breast study that's cooking and hasn't reported yet in the adjuvant situation. Obviously, an ovary, I would call that adjuvant therapy, what people are doing. So it's certainly a logical thought and maybe a tempting thought, but your thoughts are well taken.
Yeah, when we've tried to justify the pancreas trial, we've used the ovarian cancer data as our model.
Right. And now, I mean, it looks like it's maybe going to become part of adjuvant therapy, regardless of genomic status, the way it sort of did with ovary, with platinum-sensitive relapse. Anything that we haven't talked about in terms of pancreatic cancer that you want to make a comment on?
I think talking about clinical trial strategies, and I think when to refer patients to clinical trials, I think that's an important point, both for academics and community oncologists. Clinical trials in the refractory for refractory setting, the so-called third-line setting, really is not a strategy that works. Many of these patients are sick. They don't do particularly well, and we just don't get a good scientific, let alone clinical, readout for this patient population. This is, again, why I really like the maintenance setting. So the patients who've been responding to frontline therapy for metastatic disease and actually are doing well, I think that's the time to refer them to clinical trials, because either you're teeing them up for an interesting second-line study, or some of the strategies, and we're certainly building some of those at my institution, some of the strategies are specifically designed for the maintenance setting where patients are overall doing well, can go through a couple of serial biopsies if we have to, and ultimately that's the best place to test these patients.